Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 16. The Apostle Paul writing to the Jewish people, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is," speaking of sins, "where there's remission of sins, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness," everybody said boldness, "to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with a pure water." I want to preach to you tonight, young people, and I am emphasizing tonight, preaching to the young people, three things that the devil don't want you to know. Three things that the devil doesn't want you to know. Thank God, you may be seated. No doubt there are many things that the devil would like to hide from the church. I would imagine that there are many, many, many truths in this precious book that if the devil had his will and his choice and his way, he would like for those things to be hidden from you and from I from now until the Lord comes. I want to talk to you specifically to the young people tonight about three things that the devil doesn't want you as a young person to know. Three things that the devil would like to keep hidden from you. First of all, in the verse 16, the first verse that we read to you, if you're here tonight and you're a young person and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, he does not want you to understand verse number 16. But by the help of the Lord, before you leave here tonight, we want you to know what God has in store for you. In verse 16, he said, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." Now, there's a couple of different things that I want to say about this verse of Scripture. First of all, we're living in a day today, and it's already been referred to tonight. We're living in a day today whenever the world and the devil is doing everything in its power to control the minds and the hearts of young people in this great nation. Media doesn't stop at any expense. Television, radio, magazine, books, newspapers. It seems that there's no expense that is barred to getting to your mind and getting to your heart. You see, the devil knows that when he has controlled your mind and your heart, that he has literally taken control of your future. He knows that if he can plant his seeds of doubt, his seeds of corruption, his seeds of immorality, his seeds of impurity, his seeds of lust and deception, if he can plant those things in your mind and plant those things in your heart, then he has, my friend, literally decided what your future and eternity will be. Now, the first thing I want to say to you tonight, if you're here and you don't know the Lord, or you may think you know him, but you know you need to know him more, the first thing I want to say to you tonight is that you don't have to allow the devil to control your mind. You don't have to allow the devil to dictate to you what your heart is going to feel and what the desires inside of you will be. You don't have to allow the devil tonight to play with your future and to play with your, if you please, eternity, to play with your soul and where it is going to spend eternity. Everybody said, praise the Lord. He said, I'm going to write my law in their minds. I'm going to write my law in their heart. I'm going to put my will into young people. Will you say praise the Lord? How's that going to happen, Pastor Cunningham? If you look into this 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, you're going to find there are a lot of things that relate to the old Jewish customs, the old Jewish ways of approaching God. You see, in the olden times, and if there was a rabbi here tonight, he could give us a good lesson on this. But in the Old Testament times, when it was time to go to God, that one time a year that the high priest would make his way to God, trying to obtain atonement for the sins of a nation, there was a certain path that that man had to follow. The very first thing was he had to stop at an altar. And when he was at that altar, there had to be a sacrifice. There are 5 Levitical sacrifices mentioned in the Old Testament. It could have been anything from a turtle dove all the way up to the bullock, if you please. And depending on the size or the amount or the depth of the sin of those people, he would bring a suitable sacrifice to that altar. And their death would take place. And blood would be shed upon an altar. They would walk past that altar where that the blood was shed and life was taken. They would make their way to the brazen laver of water. And there that priest would begin to cleanse himself and wash himself of all of the things that had gotten on him while he was doing the sacrifice. After he went past the brazen laver of water, he would enter into what was called the holy place. In the holy place, as you walked through the door, to your left there was the 7 golden candlesticks. To your right there was the table of shewbread that was like unto the bread of life or the word of God. Directly before you was that great veil that was there separating the holy place and the holy of holies. Before the veil was the altar of incense. And here this priest that had made the sacrifice, that had washed himself, he would begin to prepare to minister for the people of Israel or for the people of God. As he would minister in this holy place, there would be a burning of incense. It was a type of their worship unto the Lord. There would be a light in that holy place from the 7 golden candlesticks. It's a type of the Holy Ghost that shines into our heart today. There was that bread, that table of shewbread that they would eat of that bread, Brother Dino. It would sustain them like the Word of God sustains you and I today. But before that priest could go into that Holy of Holies, the Word of the Lord said he had to be anointed with a holy oil. It was the work of the apothecary. It was a special anointing mixture. And they would pour it on the top of the priest's head. And it would run down through his beard. It would run down his clothes. It would drip off the end of his garments into the floor. And it was a type of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the infilling of the precious Spirit of God that you and I feel here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you see, in the Old Testament, it was just one man. One man. One time a year. That could enter into that place with God. There's something the devil wants you to believe today, young person, and that is that God is still inaccessible to His people. The devil would have you to believe today, young person, that God is some great and mighty deity that dares not be touched by His subjects. It is the devil's lie today that you've got to go through a man to get to God. It's the devil's lie today, young person, that only certain preachers and elders and older folks can have a relationship with God. Oh, hallelujah. The devil doesn't want you to know that the ultimate plan of God was to take that thing out of the hand of the priest and to write His law in your heart and to write His law on your mind and to let you as an individual, as a young person, have a relationship with God. Hallelujah! 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 Bethlehem. How do I know God tonight? We find that path to reaching God that I described to you from the Old Testament. We find it again in the New Testament. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, the 38th verse, the Bible said in that 37th verse, men were hungry for God. And they said, what must we do? And the Apostle Peter stood up and he began to direct them down that priest approach to God. He said, first of all, you got to repent of your sins. That's the altar. That's where the dying takes place. That's where you lay down the old man and you die out to the lust of the flesh. There's got to be a dying first of all. He said, then you got to make your way past the water. And there you're going to be washed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then he took them into that holy place where that they could have a holy experience with a holy God and said, you're going to be anointed with a holy oil, a Holy Spirit, if you please. He said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Everybody said hallelujah. Everybody said hallelujah. You're here tonight and you don't know him. Believe you me, the devil don't want you to know him. The devil doesn't want you to know how to get to him. The devil doesn't want you to know that you can have the Holy Ghost before you leave this place tonight. The devil doesn't want you to know that you can have remission for your sins by being baptized in the name that's above all other names. The devil doesn't want you to know that you can repent of your sins tonight and you can leave those sins on an altar. Everybody said, praise the Lord. The second thing that the devil doesn't want young people to know tonight. In verse number 17, he said, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I want you to say that with me. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Let me talk to you about that, young person. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. The Bible tells us a little bit about Satan. The Bible tells us that he is the condemner of the brethren. I think if we were to take a vote here tonight, I think all of us would vote that he's doing a pretty good job. If there's one thing I found out as being youth president for 7 years, I found out that young people live under condemnation almost continually. If it's not the devil condemning you, too often it's mom and dad. If it's not mom and dad, too often it's the church and people like me, the pastor. There are times that we do too much condemnation of God's little children. Say amen or oh me. Hello? One of the devil's main tasks is to use condemnation and intimidation to cause you not to believe in the mercy of God. Amen? Amen? Say, Brother Cunningham, you don't know the things that I've done wrong. I doubt seriously if you've done anything that's not represented in that book. I was reading about David one day. Here's a young man that God had anointed him when he was just a teenager. He learned to play the harp. He sang songs. He worshiped God. God lifts him up, exalts him to the throne. And what did he do? He had his eyes on another man's wife. And before long, he had lusted. That lust turned into adultery. And then to cover up his adultery, he had to lie. And to cover up the lies, he had to have a man put in a place that he would be murdered. Now, there are some of you here tonight as young people that the things you've done wrong in your life, they don't even compare to the wrong that David had done. Look at the Apostle Peter that preached the greatest message in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. The man that stood there, and when he was done preaching, 3,000 were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. But it was just a few days before that that Peter 3 times denied the Lord and said, "I don't know Him." And he cursed those that asked Him. We got some young people that get ornery sometimes. We got some young people that do mean things sometimes. We got some young people that fall into sin sometimes. We have some young people, Brother Manny, that sometimes they trip and they fall on their face and they commit something that's wrong. But I'm telling you, there's nothing that my God can't forgive. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! My friend, if you've not blasphemed the Holy Ghost, there's forgiveness for you tonight. I don't care how much mistakes you've made. I don't care how low you've sunk. I don't care what kind of wrong you've done. I don't care who you've hurt. I don't care whatever it is you've said. I'm begging you tonight to put it under the blood. Put it under the blood. Put it under the blood. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The devil doesn't want you to know, young person, that you can find forgiveness of sins. Every time you try to pray, the old devil's right there telling you, "How can you pray? You know what you did last week. You know what you did last month. You know what you said. You know them thoughts you've been having." Every time you want to clap your hands and worship God, the old devil's right there telling you that you can't worship God tonight because of the wrong that you've done. I'm here to tell you tonight, young person, that the devil's a liar and the father of all liars. Hallelujah! 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 My God, my God, my God! My God, my God, my God! Hallelujah! The Bible says, if we'll confess our faults, that doesn't mean go in a little booth and confess them to a man. That doesn't mean you got to even go in your pastor's office and confess them to him. That don't mean you got to confess them to your Sunday school teacher or your best friends. But if you find yourself an altar, my friend, it can be right there at the seat where you're at. It can be right up here in the front of your church. It can be driving your car. It can be beside your bed at nighttime. He said, if we'll confess our faults, He is faithful. He is just to forgive us our faults and to cleanse us. Everybody said, cleanse us. Everybody said, cleanse us. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Now let me blow your theology here. We've been using that verse for years wrong. We preach it to visitors and sinners. And 1 John wasn't written to visitors and sinners. It starts out with my little children. He was talking to saints. Everybody said saints. Everybody said young people that have a desire. Say it. To live for God. That's who He was talking to. He was talking to people just like you and me that have tried to have a relationship with God. But for one reason or another, the devil's caused you to fall and caused you to stumble. But He said, hey, if you'll confess your faults to God, hallelujah. One reason that the devil whips so many young people today is because he hides that promise from them. One reason that the devil causes so many young people to slip away from church. Before long, pastor's asking the youth leader, where's little Johnny? Where's Susie? Haven't seen him for a while. Youth leader says, I don't know. We'll check with their mom and dad. Mom and dad said they don't want to come back. Their friend says, I don't know what's wrong with them. I'll tell you what's wrong with them. 99 times out of 100, you listen to this preacher, 99 times out of 100, the devil has tripped them up and then made them believe that they can't have forgiveness. And I'm here to tell you tonight, the devil's a liar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had a pastor friend of mine tell me just recently of a young man in his church that had committed sin, and he had tried to convince this boy that he could find forgiveness of sins. But the devil condemned him to the point that he didn't believe that God could forgive him. And in a moment of despair, that old devil caused that boy to take his own life. A teenager went out into eternity without God because the devil was successful in hiding a precious promise from God. Young person, teenage suicide is higher today than it's ever been in the history of the world. Because young people are having a hard time coping with this perfectionism that the adult world tries to lay for them. Let me let you in on a little secret. The adult world ain't doing too hot with it either. Did you hear what I said? You hear what I'm saying to you? Say, oh, Brother Cunningham, you're condoning sin. I am not, my friend. The Apostle Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? I'm not condoning sin. I'm against sin. Sin will take you to hell. Sin breaks communion between you and God. But I'm telling you, when you've made a mistake, I'm telling you when you've tripped and fell, I'm telling you when you've done something you didn't intend to do, don't stay down. Don't stay down. Can you say thank the Lord? Everybody said thank the Lord. Let me tell you a little bit about this book. I already told you that the psalmist David was guilty of sin, but he came back. The Apostle Peter was guilty of denying the Lord, but he came back. Brother Manning, you know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, I die daily. He wasn't talking about physically dying daily. He was saying, every day I got to find me an altar. I got to carry this old flesh back to the altar. Every day I've got to fight with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. Amen. Notice what Paul said. Wrote 14 books of the New Testament. He said, them things I would do, I do not. Them things that I would not do, that's what I find myself doing. Young person, how many times have you been in that place that you knew it was wrong? You knew you was doing wrong. You knew what you was thinking was wrong. You knew what you was saying was wrong. You knew the ones you were running with was wrong. You knew the place you was going was wrong. You knew it was wrong. And when it was all done, you're sorry. And the devil tells you you've stepped across the line and you can't get back. You've been just where Paul was. He said, them things I would not do, I find myself doing them. And them things that I know's right, them things that I would do, them things I desire to do, he said, sometimes I don't do them. And the old devil's right there. The old devil's just right there. And he wants to tell you that God's grace has run out. We got some young people that pray through every camp meeting. We got some young people that get the Holy Ghost again every revival. Hello? We got some young people we got to pray through every Sunday night. Every Sunday night, sure as clockwork, you can depend on some of the saints having him up here and some of the saints having her over there. Why? Because some young people got to be brought back to the altar again. Some old Pharisee sits on the back row and says, when's that young person really going to get it? Hello?
While you're sitting on the back row, I want you to know that boy that's up here begging God to forgive him, tears running down his face, he's closer to God than you are, friend. Jesus told us the story of a Pharisee. He stood in the middle of the temple and he pounded his chest. And he said, I thank my God that I'm not like one of the sinners. And then there's this old sinner over in the corner, Brother Manny. And with his face on the floor and tears flowing down his face, he's saying, God, I'm a sinner. God, I'm no good. God, I'm not worthy of you. God, I don't deserve you. Jesus said, which one? Which one do you think God heard? He said, the sinner. The sinner. That's not afraid to go back and say, I'm sorry again. The sinner that knows that the blood of Jesus doesn't ever run out. The sinner that knows there's no limit on the grace of God. The sinner that knows that God is love. That as vast as God is, that's how His love is. It's a lie of the devil to tell you the love is all gone. It's the lie of the devil to tell you you've already went up across the line. It's the lie of the devil to tell you that Jesus Christ's mercy can't take care of what you've done wrong. I'm telling you, we got a merciful God that's full of grace and full of love and full of long suffering and full of compassion. We've got a merciful God tonight that's standing with outstretched arms and He's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor. If it's hard to walk for God, come on! He wants to help you! Hallelujah! Everybody said, praise the Lord. Everybody said, praise the Lord. Everybody said, praise the Lord. About 2 weeks ago in our church, we had a man come in on Thursday night. This man had been a preacher with the United Pentecostal Church about 15 or 20 years ago. He had made a little mistake. He had messed up. He had walked away from God. He walked into our service about 2 weeks ago on a Thursday night Bible study. I'm not a great big evangelistic service, but just a Bible study. And that man sat about halfway back and tears run down his face through the service. At the close of the service, he came forward and threw up his hands. And the Lord refilled him with the Holy Ghost. He hadn't been in an apostolic church for years. He hadn't tried to live for God for years. What are you telling us, Brother Cunningham? I'm telling you, no matter how far you get away from God, no matter how far in sin you go, no matter what kind of mistakes you've made, we've got a God that His arm is not short. Hallelujah! He can reach down and pick you up and set your feet upon a rock. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Can you say praise the Lord? Young person, the third thing the devil doesn't want you to know. The third thing the devil doesn't want you to know. In verse number 19, he said, having therefore, brethren, boldness. Everybody said boldness. To enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You know what I did not too long ago to the devil? It was mean and dirty and low down. I was trying to pray. And I was seeking God. And while I was down praying, the old devil came and started reminding me of what I was yesterday. And started reminding me of what I used to be, and what I used to think, and where I used to go, and how I used to talk. And started reminding me of the bad habits I used to have. And began pouring all that stuff out on me, Brother Tracy. And when the devil was reminding me of all those things, I looked straight up in our sanctuary and I said, Satan, I want you to know something. You are standing in the blood of Jesus Christ right now. Hallelujah! 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 Say, now how do you know that, Brother Cunningham? In the book of Revelation, it tells us that when we come to Him, that He's going to wash us by His blood, and that He's going to put our sins under the blood. And you know what? Every time the devil gets out there fishing out my past, I got to remind him, devil, that's the blood of Jesus you're digging in. Hallelujah. Devil, that's the blood of Jesus you're trying to get my past out of. Hallelujah. He covered my sins. He washed my sins away. I said He washed my sins away. Now let me tell you what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to come to church and sit on the back row instead of the front row. I hope those of you that are on the back row tonight just because you're late. But He wants you to come sit on the back row. He wants you to cross your legs and cross your arms and have your old cross spirit. Hallelujah. 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 He wants you to sit down while everybody else is standing up. He wants you to have your eyes open while everybody else has got theirs closed talking to God. He wants you to have your arms folded while everybody else has got theirs in the air worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sit down just a minute. When the Spirit of the Lord, when the Spirit of the Lord begins to deal with you, He wants you to sit there and hold on to your seat and try as hard as you can not to feel it. You know how the devil gets you to do that? He gets you to do that by thinking you're not worthy. And I'll be the first one to tell you, you're not. I'm not worthy. You're not worthy. There's not a preacher in this place that's worthy. My mother-in-law is probably the best Christian I know, but she's not worthy. Not in herself. Not in myself. Not in himself. But the Bible said we can come into His holy presence with boldness, not by our own worth, but by the blood, by the blood, by the blood. Hallelujah. You see, those of you that are jumping and shouting and running already, you already know this truth. And the devil hadn't hid it from you. But there are some of us in here that the devil's going to keep you sitting in your seat, crossing your arms with your mouth shut and your eyes open as long as he can. Why? 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 The Bible said that the joy of the Lord is our strength. He knows. The devil knows that if you'll get on your feet, the devil knows that if you'll put your hands in the air, the devil knows that if you'll worship God, the devil knows that if you sing with a loud voice, that God's going to give you power and authority over him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praising the Lord. Praising the Lord is one of the greatest tools that you have against the devil. No wonder he tries to hide it from young people. No wonder the devil tries to keep worship out of teenage classes. Oh, this is just Sunday school. We don't worship in here. Oh, you could if you wanted to. Ha 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 ha. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, I'm going to be in the midst of them. Hallelujah. Say, oh, Brother Cunningham, this is just youth night. This is just young people's service.
We don't worship like Sunday night. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to sit there. He don't want you to get involved. He don't want you to worship God. He doesn't want you to know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. He doesn't want you to know that you can feel the power of God when you begin to worship Him. Hallelujah. 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 Let me tell you something, young person. What I got from God is real. I said it's real. It's not something I trumped up. It's not something I conjured up. But it's coming down from God. And it's real. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the book of Psalms, you're going to find 9 different types of praise. 3 of them involve your hands. Brother Manny, he said, lift up holy hands. Everybody in here do that, will you? That's part of the praise found in the book of Psalms. If you've not lifted your hands up this whole service, lift up your hands right now, will you? Hallelujah. 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 The second type of praise in the book of Psalms concerning the hands, the Bible said, clap your hands unto the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the third type of praise in the book of Psalms that involves your hands, these fellows have been trying to do ever since I started preaching. The Bible says play skillfully. Come on, do it, fellas. Come on, do it. Hallelujah. That's what Psalms tells us to do. That's what the book of Psalms says to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Thank God. Sit down now. Hallelujah. 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 Sit down. Praise God. Praise God. Now, the next part of that, after the worship of the hands, there are 3 things that are listed for the feet. Oh, hallelujah! David said, leap before the Lord! Leap before the Lord! Hallelujah! Oh, thank God! Hallelujah! 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 Hold on just a minute. You know what I perceive in the Holy Ghost? Tell you what I perceive in the Holy Ghost tonight. Some of you folks are so starchy. Some of you folks are so starchy. I don't know when the last time is you've jumped up and down before God. Everybody stand up, will you? Let's all do this. Come on. It ain't gonna hurt you. Hallelujah. Sit down now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now hold on just a minute. Hold on just a minute. The second thing David says we can do with our feet, the Bible says, David was speaking, that you can run before the Lord. He said you can run before the Lord. Where's my runners at? Where's them runners at tonight? Go on. Go ahead. Hallelujah. You see, the devil doesn't want you to do this tonight. The devil doesn't want young people to know that they can do this. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The devil don't want young people to know that they can do this. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You guys ready? Are you ready? Hallelujah! And you know what the third thing is that he said you could do with your feet? Hold on just a minute. Hold on just a second. In the book of Psalms, the 149th chapter, Brother Manny, it says, let them that praise the name of the Lord. How many of you like to praise the name of the Lord? Let them that praise the name of the Lord. Hold on. There is nobody else in town that can do this. If they down here worshiping three gods, they can't do this right. If they don't know the name of Jesus, they can't do this right. He said, let them that praise the name of the Lord do so in the dance. Oh, hallelujah. Come on! Come on! The devil doesn't want you to know that you can do that, young person. Go ahead! Go ahead! The devil doesn't want you to know you can do it. Hallelujah! The devil tried to hide it from you. But you can worship the Lord tonight. You can be bold in your worship. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Everybody said, praise the Lord. Now let me tell you. Let me tell you what the last three are. Are y'all ready? The first three were with your hands. The last three are with your feet. The next three are with your voice. Hallelujah. 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 Hold on just a minute. Hold on just a minute. Say now, Brother Cunningham. Brother Cunningham. I'm just one of them quiet folks. Brother Cunningham, I pray silently. Hello? You know what David said? David said, cry out and shout! Cry out and shout unto the Lord! Oh, hallelujah. 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 You know what you do when you go to a ball game? You go to a baseball game. Your favorite team, somebody on your team catches a fly. Somebody on your team does a double play. Somebody on your team hits a home run.
You'll take a $40 hat and throw it in the air. You'll stomp all over the feet of the people around you. You'll put your hand in the air and say, go! Go! Go!
But hold on, Brother Cunningham. Hold on, Brother Cunningham. This is just church. Huh? I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something, young person. When Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross and that blood trickled down to earth, I'm telling you, God hit a home run. He hit a grand slam. He knocked the ball out of the park. Hallelujah. If there's ever been something to shout about, I got something to shout about. Hallelujah. My God. My God. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Hallelujah. The second thing that David said you could do with your voice, the Bible says, David speaking, he said we could pray unto the Lord. Bring our petitions to Him. Now you've done all the rest. I want you to do this one. I want you to close your eyes. I don't want you to pray silent. I want you to pray out loud. I want you to ask God what you need right now. If you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost, I want you to ask it. He said you have not because you ask not. I want you to ask Him to refill you with the Holy Ghost. If you've got a family member that needs saved, I want you to pray it right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. 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 God, I believe You're doing a work right now. God, I believe You're doing a work right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, pray in Jesus' name in the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I believe You now. I believe You now, Lord. I believe You now, Lord. Hallelujah! Now, the last thing that David tells us, he tells us that we can do three things with our feet, Brother Manny. We can do three things with our hands. And he says we can do three things with our voice. We can cry out and shout. We can pray. And the third thing is, he said, sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Now hold on. There are people in every church that comes late for church. And they miss half, three-fourths, or all of song service. You know why? Because they don't think singing's important. There's an old lady down in Kentucky. My wife and I was in Louisville, Kentucky, preaching. And the pastor's wife there told us of an old lady that had a stroke. Everything in her body was affected by that stroke. She was totally incapacitated. She couldn't speak a syllable. She couldn't speak a word. But that lady would sit in a wheelchair and she would sing the songs of Zion. We had an old fella in the church at home. We had an old fella in the church at home that stuttered so bad you couldn't understand a word he said. But he could sing every song of Zion without ever stuttering a word. That really stunned me and I began to wonder why. You know what doctors say? I want you to check this if you don't believe me. Doctors say that one side of the brain controls your speech. It's a totally different part of your brain that controls your ability to sing.
You see, whenever David was talking to us about worship, he was concerned about you worshiping from the tip of your toe to the top of your head, every crevice of your body, involved in worshiping God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And folks that hang out a song service, they go to the water fountain during song service. They go to the bathroom during song service. They come late and miss song service. You're doing just exactly what the devil wants you to do. He doesn't want you to know. Some of the folks that have been in God for a while, been in the Lord for a while, they'll shake their head on this. How many times have you had your back against the wall? You didn't know which way to turn. You didn't know what the answer was. And Brother Tracy, you got away and you tried to pray, but the prayer didn't work. You got away and you tried to clap, and it didn't seem to do any good. You stomped your feet, and it didn't seem to help. But you begin to sing an old song of Zion. And when you begin to sing, I said, when you begin to sing, you felt the touch of the Holy Ghost that come upon you. Hallelujah. Brother Cunningham, I'm going through a battle tonight. Jehoshaphat. They were about ready to go into a battle. They're heading up a mountainside. God stops him and says, hey, take the singers and put the singers out in front of the army. Right behind the singers, get all of them that play instruments and put the instruments right behind the singers. And right behind the singers and the instruments, put those that are going to dance before the Lord and going to worship the Lord. Now hold on. That 34th chapter of the book of Chronicles tells us verbatim, and when they began. And when they began, God set an ambush against their enemies. Now hold on. You come in here tonight with the enemy on your back. You're going to walk out of here tonight with the enemy on your back if you don't begin. Did you hear what I said? If you don't get started worshiping God, if you don't begin praising, if you don't begin singing, if you don't begin shouting, if you don't begin weeping, I'm telling you, you're going to walk out of here with the devil on your back. But if you'll get started, if you'll begin, I know you got school tomorrow. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. The devil is right beside some of you right now. He's telling you that all that's foolishness. That's what he wants you to believe. Hello? He's telling you that singing won't help nothing. That's what he wants you to believe. He's telling you to keep your voice down. That's what he wants you to believe. I'm telling you, on the authority of God's book, that if you'll begin worshiping God with your whole heart,